We are constantly interacting with others, whether in person or over the phone or online. And, you know, most of these times our contacts go pretty smoothly. But unfortunately, there are people out there who are looking to take advantage of us. And sometimes it can be months before you know that sensitive data have been taken and used. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The folks at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection work very hard to keep us all safe from fraud, from identity theft, and a whole lot more. And two of them are with me today. Sandy Chalmers is the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Thank you for coming by, Sandy.
Thanks, Larry. Nice to be here this morning.
Great to have you back. And Michelle Reinen, director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Always great to have you as well.
Thanks, Larry. It's good to be here.
And we'll invite our listeners, if you have a question or comment or maybe an experience you want to share, the number to call 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page. That's The Larry Mueller Show. We've talked about identity theft and the impact of credit cards many times over the years, I think, and you two have made us aware that it's a serious issue with children, which I hadn't known about. There's a new Wisconsin law that aims to offer some security and peace of mind in that area. And maybe you could talk about this. It's called, what is it? The Wisconsin Child Credit Protection Act.
Sure.
Sandy, you want to talk about that?
Sure. Parents, adults are very aware that identity theft is becoming a huge issue in this country and around the world. But children also are victimized by identity thieves as well. And a child's social security number is very attractive to thieves because there is no previous credit history associated with it. And that clean social security number is easily paired with any name and birth date. And once that happens, a thief can use it to set up all kinds of credit card accounts, take out loans, get a job using that name and social security number. So it's been difficult for parents to know what to do to prevent that from happening. What they often ask us, what can I do to protect my child's identity? And all we were able to say is check to see if your child has a credit report. And if they do, you know your child has been victimized. And then here are the steps to go through to reclaim your child's credit history and fix the damage. Well, now in Wisconsin, for the first time, parents are able to take proactive steps to basically lock away their child's credit report. And a parent can contact each one of the three credit reporting bureaus, which are Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, and request that their child's credit report be frozen. So this is something that parents can do on a proactive basis. It costs $10 to place a freeze on a child's credit report. But Wisconsin is one of very, very few states that have taken this action. So I would say that we're at the forefront on this issue.
Very good.
And another important point, Larry, is that this law also applies to disabled adults. So if you're a guardian, court-appointed guardian or conservator of a disabled adult, you can place a credit freeze on that person's credit history as well.
So now when you talk about a freeze, what does that mean? Is that what happens when it's frozen? What?
That means that anyone who's trying to take an extension of credit using that social security number can't access the information in the file. So it kind of locks away that social security number from being accessed for the purpose of taking out a loan or employment or anything like that.
And so the way to proceed is to contact the credit agencies.
Right. And this is something that you can't do over the phone. You have to prove that you are the child's parent.
I wondered about that, yeah.
Each one of the credit reporting bureaus will have its own process for you to go through, but you may be required, for instance, to submit a birth certificate copy or a power of attorney or something like that to document that you do have authority over that child or disabled person.
Okay. Well, it's sounds like good news, actually.
It is good news. It's great news. Again, parents ask us on a regular basis, what can I do to protect my child? And this has been a gap. And now parents have an additional tool they can use.
Talking today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Ryden from the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade and Consumer Protection, looking at current scams, and just talked a bit with Sandy about Wisconsin's Child Credit Protection Act, which sounds like a really good piece of legislation. You can join in. Maybe you've got a scam that you have become aware of, maybe in a bad way or otherwise. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And let's talk about some of the current scams that we should be aware of. Is there one out there with relating to auto extended warranties? I heard something about that, Michelle.
There is. Oftentimes, consumers will get a mailer. It can come through a robocall, your telephone or email, but often there's a mailer that a consumer will receive saying it's time to extend your warranty on your vehicle, and they'll have some information about the type of vehicle that you own, and they'll make it look as though it's coming from the manufacturer when it's just an extended warranty service, an extended service contract that they're offering you. And they try and gather information. You're likely to hear very high-pressure sales tactics and demands for that personal financial information that we try and protect. And they ask for down payments before you get any details about the service contract and get you involved in it. And then if you should choose to engage in this service contract, often the company could be gone before you ever need the service, or the things that you need done aren't covered by the plan, and here you are out your money for that. So you need to be very cautious of what it is that you're responding to in a mailer. They make it look like it's pretty urgent as well, because time's running out on getting this offer, and you want to just take your time, process who's getting it, call us to see what kind of flyer it is, make sure you know who it's coming from and exactly what's being offered. And no matter what the scam, we always advise consumers, get the details in writing before you agree to anything so you know exactly what you're getting into.
And
this is one of the things that they don't like to do. They don't want to mail you the information ahead of time.
Right.
They want your number, so that's a big red flag right there.
And Nancy in Oshkosh, I think, has something relating to an earlier comment that we had. Nancy, hi. Thanks for calling from Oshkosh.
Hi. Hello.
Yes, hi. What's on your mind?
I'm just wondering, once a parent contacts the credit agencies to block the child's Social Security number, obviously at some point the child is going to be ready to establish his credit. How then is that undone?
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah, the parent can unfreeze the credit report at any time, and you'll generally be charged at another $10 fee to do that. But otherwise, the law is good only until the child is 16. And that's the age at which most children, you know, get a job for the first time or may apply for a student loan or look into that. So the law applies to children 16 and younger, and to people who are usually vulnerable adults with a court-appointed guardian or conservator.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Good follow-up. Thanks, Nancy. Appreciate your call. I want to bring in John from Ladysmith next. John, hello.
Hi, thank you for having me on. I was saying she makes it sound like simple, almost phone calls, internet, paperwork. But I live in northern Wisconsin here, and I know a business now. We're going in the third year of people getting their tax papers stolen from a business. The FBI hasn't been involved in this. People have moved on to other jobs, and their taxes, their identity are still getting stolen. So, it don't sound like a real easy process to get this kind of stuff stopped.
Yeah. Well, it is frustrating. You're right, John. And maybe, Michelle, you want to comment on that.
Identity theft is extremely difficult to repair and recover from, and that's why we try and advise consumers how to protect themselves, what they can do up front to stop it. And if you become a victim, it's just critical that you report it, that you put these fraud alerts, freezes in place, report it to the police department so you are offered some extra services and have some pieces in place for when this identity thief has caused you extra problems in getting credit, and if it ends up being on a police report or filing your taxes. So if you end up with being a victim because of an employment issue, making sure that the proper authorities are aware of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, John, for calling. I appreciate your call. And Claire in Menominee Falls, I think, may have something similar. Claire, hi.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I've received a couple of calls the last 2 weeks, someone identifying them and themselves as the IRS, asking for my son. I ask them to identify themselves. They go on with their script of he owes money, he must pay right away. If you go to maybe a Walmart or Target and get a green dot card or something, and then you call us back with those code numbers. And again, I've asked for identification. How do I know you are the IRS? I need to talk to your supervisor. And then they have someone else take my call. And then their harassment starts. This is the IRS. You owe money. If you don't pay now, we're going to come and arrest you. We're going to send agents over right now. Very, very intimidating. And another call came, and I told them I was going to record this call, and they started laughing at me, and they said, we're on our way. We're going to come get you. You owe money. I reported it to the local police, and an officer came over and said that this is a huge scam, that if you look up that number, you won't be able to track it, of course, to the IRS. It's from Virginia or D.C., and that these calls are being originated overseas.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Sandy.
Unfortunately, that is a very common scam, and hundreds of thousands of dollars have been scammed by that IRS imposter pitch. If you ever get a call from somebody claiming to be from the IRS, just hang up. The IRS itself says that it does not contact people that way. If there is a problem with your tax return, they'll contact you by mail with a letter. But this is a great example of how threatening and persistent these calls can be. If you engage with them once, they will continue to call you.
So just from hang up.
Yeah, and the second, the second red flag there was the request for you to go to the store and get a green dot card.
Oh,
Yeah, the IRS doesn't take payment through prepaid debit cards.
No. Claire, you're doing the right thing by just hanging up on them. Thanks, though, for bringing it back to our attention. Hopefully somebody listening today, if you get a call and they say they're from the IRS, hang up right away. Don't even go any further. There we go. We're talking with a couple of experts here from the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Ryden. I'm Larry Mueller. Carl Christensen, our on-air producer today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here as we talk about scams, consumer scams, and Wisconsin's Child Credit Protection Act with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Great to have them along. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you, certainly. And let's take Bruce and Menasha next. Bruce, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry and guests. Good to talk to you. I just wanted to tell a very short story about my 89-year-old aunt, a very intelligent woman, former school teacher, who was contacted by a man on the phone claiming to be her nephew. Long story short, she was convinced that she needed to send cash via Western Union to Lima, Peru. I believe it's called Granny Scam. They swear them, the elderly, to secrecy. She was frightened and felt very alone. And she ended up, in a two-week period, sending almost $35,000 to Lima, Peru. And that money is gone.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. And we've talked about that particular scam, Sandy.
Yes.
We have. And unfortunately, it's another fairly common scam. And these criminals know that the elderly are vulnerable to that kind of a pitch. You know, it touches a very deep chord within somebody to know that a younger relative is in trouble. I want to mention that we have a senior guide available. You can get that by calling our hotline number at 1-800-422-7128, or you can go to our website, datcp.wi.gov, and order a copy of this. It's a small size, but it goes through a lot of the common scams and has good tips, basic tips for protecting yourself from common scams and fraud. We encourage anybody with an elderly relative to get one of these and give it to them. I've given one to my mother, and she loves it. She's read it from cover to cover and keeps it right by her phone, so she's prepared when she gets one of those calls from Microsoft Tech Support or the IRS or one of those places. So it's a great resource for people, and we really hope that we print thousands of them, hoping to give them all away.
So it's 800-422-7128 is that number to call. And it's free.
That's right. Absolutely free.
Yeah. Sometimes the best things in life are free.
And we use money that we get from crooks to pay for the printing. So it's kind of divine justice.
Well, you know, it's hard, I know, to hold scammers accountable, but talking about that, the Wisconsin Department of Justice recently got a judgment against a Florida-based business for violating our Wisconsin consumer laws, didn't they, Michelle?
They sure did, based on an investigation that we did. And it all prompted from a consumer receiving a mailer to come get a free dinner at a supper club and listen to a sales pitch about some energy savings, insulation protection for their home. And who doesn't want to better protect their home from the cold in Wisconsin? And so, of course, free dinner. You go, you listen. And there were all sorts of misrepresentations about this attic insulation product. It cost consumers thousands of dollars. They made it sound very good that they had it been used by NASA in the space shuttle. And of course, it was some super quality product that you'd want in your home. And one of those too good to be true kind of deals. But based on the misrepresentations, the Department of Justice, as a result of the investigation, received over $200,000 in award and penalty against this Florida individual. So we're very pleased with that. And that's where it's really important we hear from consumers. Don't hide those stories from us. Make sure we know about those complaints.
Marlis in Cambridge has a question. Hi, Marlis. Thank you for calling.
Hello. My question is, how do we know when we order something on the internet that it might be okay or right? About 2 weeks ago, my husband and I traveled to Iowa for a big family gathering just for the weekend. So ahead of time, we went on Orbitz and we got a motel room, and I paid for it using PayPal. The short story of it is, when we arrived at the motel, it was closed. There were papers on the window saying closed by the Iowa Department of Health. We found out from the local people it had been closed for months. And there we were. We thought we were going to have to sleep in our car or something. Anyway, how do you know when you go online and you think you're going to a reputable company, how do you know that what you're paying for is real? It seemed to have good comments and everything. Yeah. I thought it was real.
Oh, what do you think, Michelle?
Well, that can be a tough one. Sometimes it's those extra steps that need to be taken. So you look at the source of the website that you're using. Is it the actual company, or is it a one-off or a two-off that you're trying to get a deal? How are you paying for it so you can protect your funds? But making sure you're following up with those phone calls. So find the actual phone number for the hotel before you book it and make sure that someone answers the phone there and that they are a legitimate business. Just a Google Map photo so you can make sure there's a structure there. That's an idea to just look at that. But being very cautious on those sites, doing some scam searches as well online to see if other people have been taken, and be sure you're looking at those comments that may be a part of whatever website source that you're using.
I would certainly let Orbitz know you had this problem and see if you have some recourse through them.
In the end, we were able to get the money back through PayPal. PayPal took care of it. But the site did have photos. It had comments, but I did not call, and that's what I'll do next time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And just to be perfectly blunt, I've gone online and to a hotel where we wanted to go to on more than one occasion now, and it said for the dates that there was no room, and then I just called the hotel itself, and they said, oh, yeah, we got a room. And frankly, I had a better deal talking to them in person than I would have gotten online. So, you know, it pays to call.
Talk to somebody. It's always good to reach out.
And Eric in Appleton, what's on your mind? Hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me on the show. I have a comment. I've been living here in the States for more than half of my life. I came here legally from Peru. Now, a lot of what I want to get at is a lot of companies, big companies, Sallie Mae, Microsoft, Time Warner Cable, they outsource to another third world countries for customer service mostly. And I can't help wonder how secure is my information over there. India, Latin America, Singapore, you name it.
Yeah.
How secure it is for my information, because when I call, I talk into another person with another accent, and I'm not prejudiced, but I want to speak with an American about my personal information.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to some third world country guy that I have no control absolutely of what they're going to do or who they can sell it to.
Yeah.
So, you know, that outsourcing of business to other countries doesn't really, they cannot really control what they do with that information that is so personal to us.
All right, Sandy.
Well, that's a great point you raise. I will say that if that is covered by law, it would be a federal law if companies are responsible for protecting their information overseas. You know, that would be a matter of federal law. And that's about all I have to add to that one.
Yeah.
It's a great point, and I know it's a concern.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, thanks very much, Eric, for calling. Judy in Lodi, hello to you.
Yeah. Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I just had a call about 10 minutes ago for a sales pitch. You get $3,000 worth of groceries, the certificate, for free. Also, free is one of those buttons you can wear, you know, for emergencies and stuff. Mm. It was free if you push number one, which I didn't do. But now this is the third time that I've had weird calls for, you know, and it was a recording. It wasn't a live person. But I think the public should know because it sounds like another scam going.
But it sure does. Judy, thank you for calling. Have you guys heard that one yet?
We have. We've heard several similar scams, all involving some kind of lifeline medical alert type device. I'm assuming this was a robocall, so that right in and of itself is a red flag because that most likely is violating the law. The FTC, Federal Trade Commission, has already taken action against one of these companies that was based in Florida that had a medical alert type pitch, and then we've had a couple following that where they use the pitch for free groceries in an attempt to get you to pay something on a monthly basis, and then of course you never get your device. So we'd like to hear from Judy and hear the details. Judy, if you would call our toll-free number and file a complaint, that would be great.
It's the toll-free number is 1-800-422-7128. That's 1-800-422-7128. And Judy, I hope you will follow through. I think we may.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. You can join in, too, at this number, 1-800-642-1234. That's the number to get in with your question or comment, or maybe you've got an experience to share relating to some sort of consumer scams or consumer credit issues. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'd love to hear from you. I got an email from Adrian who wonders your opinion on identity protection programs like LifeLock would be an example of one. Michelle?
Well, it's a service, and you're paying for them to do something that you can do yourself for free, but it takes time, organization, and dedication to do it yourself. So it just becomes one of those balances of, do you want to pay someone else to do this for you? That's perfectly fine, but make sure you know how much you need to pay, how long you'll be paying that, and exactly what service they'll be providing you. So you know which things they're going to be covering for you and which things won't be covered as far as, you know, regular credit reports, monitoring bank accounts, credit card statements, all of those things that need to be done in order to monitor your identity.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth and Nina, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have a question for your guest regarding these calls that are made to the elderly. And from my perspective, I have a son who's now a young man, but he has high-functioning autism. And so he needs a phone to get along, but he would be very vulnerable to persuasion and that sort of thing. And I was wondering if any thought had been given to establishing some sort of filtering service where someone could subscribe to have known scam phone numbers blocked from even making the call into your phone. I know you can do that with email, you can do that on the internet. And I was thinking if that could be done by phone, then family members could help their loved ones just sign up for that service and never even receive the call.
We have a partial fix for that, I think,
yeah,
to some extent.
There is a company that provides a service like that. It's called Nomo Robo, and it only works if you have voice over internet calling. But software companies understand there's a market for this service, and they're working on it on a regular basis. That's a great idea.
Yeah, excellent idea. And, of course, I mean, the do-not-call lists are at least some protection against calls.
Yeah, and the way we put it is that it will limit the number of calls you receive. We have 400-some companies registered to telemarket in the state, and I can tell you that you will not get calls from those companies. Mm-hmm. And they're insurance companies, credit card companies, things like that. What the no-call list will not stop are these robocalls that originate from overseas. Those are very, very difficult to stop. Michelle and I just attended a seminar on that sponsored by the Indiana Attorney General's Office, and it was attended by attorney general's offices and consumer protection agencies from across the country. So it's really been a focus for enforcement efforts, but very, very difficult to put a stop to.
Well, it sounds exciting that people are at least working on trying to devise something, so that's very hopeful. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Elizabeth, for calling. And Julie in Boulder Junction, thank you for calling. Hi.
Thank you. Mine is just about a scam I received. Well, it was a couple years ago. I received a call saying that I owed on a payday loan for $5,000. And I said, I don't have a payday loan. They can tell they're from overseas. Well, they continued to insist I did, and they said if I don't pay, they're going to come to my job, and they have me arrested, and went on and on. I just said, no way, and I hung up. Well, they persisted to call every day, sometimes four or five times a day. I would yell on the phone, carry on. They had my Social Security number. I had them verify that. And so I called Homeland Security and reported it, and then they hadn't called for several months, and they started calling back. Well, when I answered the phone, and I asked who's calling, and they told me. I said, well, this is Detective so-and-so. We're investigating the death of Julie Sims, and we have recordings of you threatening her life and threatening to have her arrested. They never called back.
Huh. Well, that's a more unusual way to deal with it, that's for sure.
Never call me back.
All right. Oh, my goodness. Well,
he would do that for payday loans, so.
Yeah, so that's another scam area, Michelle.
It is, and it's one of those scam areas with those extreme scare tactics that consumers get very worried about and want to go away, so pay. We've seen a variety of those over the last month, whether it be that you have unpaid parking tickets, whether it be eviction notices, court, that you have a court date that you need to appear for, and if you don't, they're going to put out a warrant for your arrest. So these either come through email and a link, and or they come through the phone, that you get these scare tactics. Again, very high pressure, owe money, and then you don't have to appear. So just hang up on those, and you can follow up if you are concerned you have a parking ticket. You would, of course, call the actual source of where you think that's from. You'd call the courthouse to see if you have an actual court date. You'd be served.
We had from Corey on Facebook, who's been getting threatening phone calls from a collection agency for someone we don't know and have never lived at our address or phone number. Last year when we refinanced our house, during their credit check, this person's name suddenly appeared connected to my wife. How would we go about taking care of that? That's a nasty...
There could be a couple of things going on there. I'm not sure that the two are connected, but I certainly would call or get in touch with the credit reporting bureau and let them know that this is there. It may be an error, or there may be some kind of fraud or identity theft going on, but either way, you need to address it right away. I don't know whether the calls from the fake collection agency are connected or not.
Might be two different things.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
In the collection agency, they're regulated by the Department of Financial Institutions in the state of Wisconsin, so I would contact that agency and let them know about the threatening phone calls, because there's regulations for collection agencies.
Okay. Sarah and Kiwani, thanks for waiting. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to share some valuable lessons I learned from just two Craigslist issues recently.
Yeah.
Where I was trying to sell something, and I got a reply that sounded real good, except the area code wasn't familiar, and they wanted to pay via PayPal, and they were going to send an agent to pick it up. So they weren't local. It just, that right there was kind of seemed like a red flag. And my son shared with me that PayPal will always side with the customer, and the way that they'll scam you is that they'll say they never received it, and then they'll get their money back. So you'll be out the money. And the second, so it happened again where someone did this, you know, said, either I'd like to pay with PayPal. So I said, no, you know, cash only, unless you want to pay via a gift. Because apparently, if you can pay people through PayPal as a, you say it's as a gift, and then they won't have that recourse. So what they did was they sent, they needed my email, and I would have clicked on it. I would have had to put my PayPal username and password, and then they would have had access to my PayPal account. Money in it. So I just thought, well, thank goodness for my teenagers to educate me on these things and, you know, help avoid these scams. But how many other people are having to learn the hard way?
Yeah,
we hear a lot of concern about Craigslist. There's just a lot of opportunity for fraud there. And we recommend before you post something for sale on Craigslist, just take a minute to read through the common scams area of their website so you're educated and you know what to look for.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah, for calling. We have Sylvia from Evansville next. Sylvia, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call. Say, in the past 2 weeks, I received two calls from the same author. It's a robocall directed to seniors, and this is just a heads up. It says, if you or a family member are 60 or older, you now qualify for a new national senior assistance program to receive $3,000 in free grocery savings certificates used in over 100 major grocery chains in the U.S. You also will receive free medical alert devices. Press 1 to speak to someone or press 2 to prevent future calls. So this is just a heads up. I bet it's a scam.
Yeah, we were just actually talking about that, Sylvia. You may have missed that just maybe when you were dialing, but it is a scam, is it not, Michelle?
Yeah, anytime something comes by robocall and press a button to get this or press a button to get off the list so we don't call you again, those are sure signs of a scam. And just hang up the phone, don't engage, don't press any buttons.
Thanks again for calling. Our guests today, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection of our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, talking with them today about all the current scams that are going on out there and what we can do about it. I hope you'll stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you'd like to join in, the number 1-800-642-1234. Talking about consumer scams today, and I can tell you right now, there's one thing that is not a scam, and that is you're going to have a chance to sit down with me in the northern part of the state in Washburn, Wisconsin, coming up on May 15th. That's no scam, I tell you what. Hope you'll come. It's a meet and greet with me in Washburn, May 15th on Thursday. That's Thursday, May 15th, from 6 to 7:30. We're going to raise a toast to spring's arrival. We'll enjoy food from Coco's and a chance for you to win some prizes, including tickets to Big Top Chautauqua, among other things. So I hope you'll join me. For more information, and we'd like to know how many are coming just for the food situation. So I hope you'll call at 608. The number is 263-9525. That's 608-263-9525. That's in Washburn, Wisconsin. It's coming up on Thursday, May 15th. On the 16th, I'll be broadcasting from Bayfield for Bayfield in Bloom. But in the meantime, I hope to see you there in Washburn, Wisconsin on May 15th, the day after my birthday. And let's get back to consumer scams. Ken in Eau Claire has something for us. Let's go to Ken. Hi, Ken. Thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call, Larry.
Sure.
I just did the Disney pilgrimage and down Orlando. Uh-huh. Rented a car, and we got down there, and I've always rented many cars, never had this problem before. I do a walk around when I rent the car to make sure if there's any scratches, dents, whatever problems, or report it. This happened on Bring You Back. We had car was fine. We picked it up. We used it for a week. It was also fine, had no concerns, and dropped it back off. The guy checked us in, said, okay, you're good to go, and we left. I didn't do a walk around at that time because I figured they checked that and ask any questions. Got home about 10 or 12 days later, got a phone call from the car company saying that we owe $275 for damage done to the car. And we're like, well, we didn't have an accident. We didn't have any problems at all with it. And your people checked it in and didn't say anything. So we're left trying to figure out what's the best way to deal with this particular problem.
Wow. That's one I haven't heard.
I haven't either. I would ask for a written statement of what the damage is and see if you can get some photos as well of what the damage claims are. I mean, make those requests to them in writing and follow up that way. I know one thing we've started doing is taking pictures of the rental car as we drop it off. So when we walk away, we have evidence of how we left it. And we kind of always make sure we get the guy with his shirt in there, too, so we can show that we took it at the rental place.
At the rental place. Yeah, actually, we did all those things. We actually challenged them on that point, like, why did it take you 12 days to call us or whatever to say there was damage, for one thing. And then when they did send the pictures, you know, they included the license plate of the van, which it was the van. It was the one that we used. And but they also sent along the odometer, which registered actually 18 miles more on it than when we had checked it in from our final checkout list that we had kept. And so it's like 18 miles been put on this car since we left, and how do we know who actually did that and what, the accident or the problem. And the picture was, it was almost like a puncture hole in the driver's side door. And so like, how in the world could we not have noticed that or heard it or something? And so any rate, that's kind of where we left at. We did call you people at the consumer complaint, and we do have a form. I don't know. Do you think it does much good to fill it out or anything? Or
sure do.
We called the credit card company. We've done all those things. We told the credit card company we'll challenge the charge if they try charging it and did those things. So I didn't know if we should fill out the form, if it's just a, would that be beneficial, or is it just kind of a waste of paper at this point? And
no.
No. I'd fill it out and make sure you send the paperwork that you received when you checked the car back in, so we have that odometer information and anything you've gotten from them as a result of this.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Well, it's good. Thank you.
Good for you for hanging on to that information, too, because...
Yeah, always a good thing.
thanks, because I have not been quite so good about that myself on occasion, so... Yeah. Pays to hang on to that stuff.
At least for a little while, a few weeks, month, hang on to those things till it's built out for you.
Let's turn to Lewis in Menominee. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. First time calling, being on the air. I pulled over on the side of the road and I have my hands free, so.
Good.
we had a doozy last fall. We have a small business. We're a plumbing shop in Menominee, Wisconsin, and we get soliciting calls almost every single day. And we always answer the phone because our customers call, and so we have to answer the phone as part of our business. And there must be a database somewhere where they keep small businesses in, because we get them nonstop. And so what happened is that one of my employees answered the phone, and this person was trying to sell something, or, wanted to know if we wanted something, and he answered, politely, we're not interested, no, thank you. And they asked some other odd questions, and he just, answered them and hung up. Well, some time went by, and not that long either, a couple weeks, and I got a call that said that they were a collection agency for advertising that we had requested. And I said, well, I don't know anything about this. And they said, well, is your employee, so-and-so, Mike? I said, yeah. And I said, well, I have a recording here of him authorizing us to put your business on a billboard in New York or New Jersey.
Ah.
And I said, why would I want to advertise in New York or New Jersey? And he says, well, this is a very serious matter. He says, you owe us $600 or $700. I can't remember the exact amount. I thought it was an unusual amount. Usually advertising is much more than that, it seems like. And he said, if you just pay me now, we won't destroy your credit and all these terrible things. And I said, well, this is a this is a scam. And he got really mad. And he threatened me and he said, well, you can consider your credit gone. And he says, you can try to run a business with no credit. He got really nasty. And so I hung up on him. I said, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm going to hang up now. Well, he continued to call back almost every single day. Well, I spoke with my brother, who's an attorney, and he went online somewhere. He's much more savvy with the Internet than I am. And he found this very same scam somewhere else. And he said, is he asking you this? And I said, yes. I said, but how does he have it? My employee asking for this advertisement. And then we listened to it, and because I had recorded him last time he called me, and we listened to it, you can tell that they cut out sections of what they asked him some questions, and they cut those sections out and then asked different questions. So it said, do you want to advertise in New York? And my employee said, yes.
Oh.
And so we could see this. So anyway, this guy kept on, and I just, every time he called, I answered, and I said, you do whatever you got to do. And then he started saying that, you know, you're going to go to jail. And I said, okay, well, you know, I said, he said, then you better get your airplane ticket because you're going to have to come to New York to testify. And I said, well, I haven't received anything. Well, then they mailed me. They started mailing me invoices, and they started putting interest on it, and they started mailing them to me. So, you know, I just basically kept ignoring it, and it went on for probably 3 or 4 months. Letters every week and phone calls, and then they must have just gave up on me. But I mean, it was, you know, I was, it took, you know, time and energy that I don't have, and I was actually a little bit afraid. But, you know, I just kept saying to myself, and my brother said, you know, they have no basis for this. But I mean, they had official stuff that they sent me, and they had a picture that they made of a billboard. You know, they had my name spelled wrong on it, of course. And they tried all this, and I didn't give them anything, and they went away. So, I mean, I just thought I would share that because it was pretty intense, I guess.
Oh, well, that sounds awful. Sandy?
A great example of a scam that is targeting small businesses. And we have heard several very similar stories from small business owners. In fact, we're trying to take legal action against one company and are having a hard time serving them with the legal documents. So you can imagine how they pop up and move around and are difficult to track down. I have heard of this specific angle where you're recorded and then the call is very carefully edited to make it sound like you've approved the purchase of some kind of services. And usually they just call and ask you to verify your business name and address. So you're on the phone saying, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's how they do that. We would be very interested in getting a written complaint from you so we can take action here. Even if it's been a while ago, it's likely that this criminal operation is still around.
And if you have some of the printed material, probably with the...
Right. Right.
I may or may not. I don't know if I filed it. I was so disgusted with the whole thing, I may have started it on fire. I don't know.
I wouldn't blame you any at all, Lewis.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thanks so much for calling. And I mean, that, you know, this shows the length to which they'll go. I mean, this is like months, he said, I'm 3 months. He kept getting materials.
Well, especially with a business that keeps sending the invoices, they're counting and banking on you slipping up and just paying it with all the regular bills and that you'll kind of lose track of it and that you won't hold out as long as Lewis did, which is great.
Bob and Franklin, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. I've got an interesting one. A few years ago, I went on the Ironwood, Michigan website to look for a hotel to stay in.
Yeah.
And I clicked on one of the hotels, and I got the website. It had the hotel logo and everything, looked legitimate. So I made a reservation. And I got the bill in the mail. I used my charge card, got the bill. And I had to make another reservation, so I called the hotel again and found out I had no reservation. I gave them the reservation number, and they said, well, we don't recognize that number. That's not ours. So I ended up doing something else for a hotel room, but then I checked my charge card bill, and it was a place called cheaphotels.com. So I called them up and complained, and they really argued with me. They insisted that I had a reservation and I had to pay the bill. And, you know, we were just going back and forth. And they refused, you know, kept calling me and demanding that I pay the bill until I got the hotel involved. And after sending letters back and forth for a month or two, they finally gave up and took the charge off my charge card. But
well, that's and sometimes the charge card company itself will not pay that, right? If you phone them and tell them,
yeah, it you have right under federal law to contest a charge in this kind of situation. So look at the materials from the specific credit card company you use and look for their information on disputing charges. You know, we had an employee not long ago that was caught up in one of these fake cheaphotel.com type scams. If you're looking to book online, make sure that you're not on one of those sponsored ads. Make sure that you are at the website of the Holiday Inn or Best Western or whatever it is that you're wanting to make a reservation with.
Talking today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, visiting with them about current scams. They're going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. We'll take a look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then we'll be back with Michelle and Sandy. You stay with us. In the course of an average week or month, you and I act as consumers many times, and while we don't need to be suspicious of every vendor, there are some steps to take to avoid scams and stay safe. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Happily, most transactions go smoothly and you get what you pay for, but those other times when there are problems, you need some help. And we're lucky to have knowledgeable and passionate people working on our behalf. Michelle Reinen's one of them. She's director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Michelle, great to have you back.
It's good to be here, Larry.
And Sandy Chalmers is the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. And thank you, Sandy, for spending
Always
time.
A pleasure.
Well, I tell you what, we have callers online with questions about consumer scams. You may have a question as well. There are there's an open line or two at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Let's turn to Jan in Chippewa Falls next. Jan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you. I'm so glad to talk to you because this just came up last night. I'm a teacher at an alternative school in Eau Claire, and one of my students is 18 years old, and she just told me that when she was 16, she was in one of the local hospitals, and there was a $10,000 bill on her hospital stay. Her parents did not have insurance, and now that she's 18 years old, she had her tax return taken by the hospital. How can this be right?
Huh. So her tax, the money that she had coming...
So her was garnished by the hospital, I
yes.
wonder?
That would have to happen through the courts in order for garnishment to occur. There must be a judgment for the bill.
And she must... Well, you would think that she would have been informed, though. I mean, she would have had to have been... Wouldn't she have had to have been a part of that judgment? I mean...
That or because when she was 16, her parents potentially...
Wow.
I know. Isn't it confusing?
I think... She claims...
She told me. I said, have you gotten letters about this? And she says she's the one in her family that goes through the bills, goes through the mail, and she says she has not seen anything about this.
I guess a couple things. I would go to Wisconsin Circuit Court Access, and she can put in her own name and in information and do a search to see if there had been any judgment against her, and that would be a start, because then she can find a file number and kind of dig backwards into any court proceedings that occurred. Uh-huh. If she comes up vacant there, maybe try and reach out to an attorney to see what they can do, or talk to an attorney about this.
What about the hospital itself?
Go to the hospital itself and find the records as to what actions they took as well. And maybe also talk to it was her tax return, so call, if it was the state tax return, talk to the Department of Revenue under what order or judgment they were able to garnish the fees, the return.
Yeah,
well, that gives me a lot to tell her.
Yeah, it's good luck on that. That's a crummy thing to have happen to you, especially just out of the blue. You don't know,
right?
And you'd have thought they would have been after her to ask her for the money, for the payment.
Right. Usually it's a pretty long process, and there's payment options you can usually arrange with hospitals for circumstances. And so something was missed there.
Yeah.
I'd probably run a credit check on her name and information as well.
Ooh,
in the meantime, just to see what's going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. So lots to work with there, Jan. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. And thanks for your interest on behalf of your student. That's always good to hear, too, and good to see. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Fred in Heartland, your turn. Hi, Fred.
Hey, Larry. I got an answer for the lady that was concerned about her autistic son receiving calls.
Yes.
About a month ago, I was receiving robocalls every 3 minutes for 2 days.
Oh.
And I had to shut the phone off, and I went down to my carrier's office to see what could be done. And he showed me that I could go into the phone and program the phone to just receive calls from my phone's directory. So it was all known people to me. Now, if her son would have a cell phone, any cell phone can be programmed this way, so he would only receive calls from known people.
Hmm. I wonder how you find that. I wonder how you are able to do that. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can go down into the security section of the phone, and it'll give you an option: receive all calls or receive just the directory calls.
Okay.
If she would get a phone from a known carrier, they can show her exactly how it can be done. And then she can program in the friends and family's phone numbers for him. So he would just receive calls from them.
Oh, that's a great. That's perfect.
It's a great solution.
Thank you, Fred.
It saved me from going insane now those couple days.
I bet. Oh, my goodness.
After I had done this, after 2 days, all the robocalls stopped.
Ah.
So.
And then you were able to go back. Did you go back then to the other system?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I occasionally still get a sales call, but I look at the number and I see it's somebody I don't know. I just cancel it out.
Yeah.
That's a great feature, and we'll share that information with people.
Yeah. Is it a smartphone? Is it probably just on smartphones, I would guess?
No. No, it's not. I don't have a smartphone. This is a regular cell phone, flip open. I don't go to the internet or anything like that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thanks for that.
Any cell phone that's been recently manufactured should have that feature in it.
Thank you, Fred. We'll be, I'm sure, I can see two people right across the table from me are going to be checking up on that a little bit more. appreciate that information. Thanks a lot. Doug in Lancaster, we turn to you next. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Larry. How are you today?
Perfect. Thanks for calling.
Great. Well, I've got an interesting issue here with good old Kirby vacuum cleaners. And I don't know if you guys have heard much regarding these folks or not. We went through the sales process with these people, 3 hours in my home, cleaning floors, which doesn't usually even take a professional that long to do, much less myself. We decided we would invest in the vacuum cleaner. We had just moved in the house. We were looking for something anyway. And then, like, a day later, we realized we spent $1,200 on a vacuum cleaner, which is incredibly overpriced, and decided to return it. The folks came back to my house to pick up the vacuum cleaner. They were extremely rude, almost to the point of verbal abuse. They took the vacuum cleaner back. I tried to hand the paperwork back to them. They would not take it from me. They said I had to send it to their office down in Dubuque. I made a copy of the form to return. I sent it to them via certified mail to make sure somebody received it. And 2 weeks later, I followed up with a phone call, to which took me about 7 or 8 times of calling within a day to get somebody on the phone. And then when I got somebody on the phone, they put me on hold and would leave me there for an hour and hang up on me. I'm trying to get my money back, and I don't know what recourse I have.
Did you charge it on your charge card?
No, we paid with a check. Like I say, it says right on their paperwork that the money is to be returned within 30 days. It's now been about 35 days, and I haven't seen or heard anything from anybody.
All right, Michelle?
Doug, I'd ask that you file a complaint with our office, and you can either go online to do that at datcp.wi.gov or call our 800 number, 1-800-422-7128. Fill out the complaint form and get us copies of that paperwork, and we'll look at that in your 3-day right to cancel aspect and the whole sales pitch piece of it and try and help you get your money back.
Okay, there's no further, phone calls or anything. I just don't know if they're going to respond. I've tried everything I can do.
Right, so now that you've done everything you can do, it's time to ask for some help, and we'll see if we can help you out. That's what we're here for.
Okay, well, I appreciate the information. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Oh, boy. It's sad out there sometimes how things turn out. Hopefully this will be a good ending when you guys get your hands on it.
Right, hopefully. There's some big picture items we're going to look at with that.
What? By the way, that number, maybe as you listen, you say, hey, maybe I should be calling the department. The number again is 1-800-422-7128, 422-7128. And was it Tom in Daresville, Iowa, who we just were visiting with?
No, he's new.
No, Tom is new. Tom, are you there?
I am here.
Thanks for calling.
How's it going? I just had a comment that I feel would help a lot of people out. It involves a scam that often happens. That's happened to me probably 6 or 7 times figured out it was a scam. When I sell stuff on Craigslist, like if I have a laptop I'm getting rid of, or it's happened with motorcycles or anything of substantial value, oftentimes I get a message through there saying, hey, I'll buy it, but I'm out of town, or some other spiel. And they'll say, give me your PayPal email and I'll send you the money through PayPal, and they want me to ship it to them. And you'll give them the email, and they'll send you an email that looks exactly like a payment confirmed email that you would get from PayPal, but you won't get any of that money from them ever, because it is fraudulent. I almost fell for it the first time when I was selling an Apple computer, and you won't get any money, so I figured if anybody was selling anything of substantial value, they'd probably get these kind of contacts. And I just figured it would help some people who didn't know the scam existed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be a good idea to check the Craigslist website or the PayPal website and check their common fraud listings. And if you don't see that specific one there, report it to them so they can let other people know.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Tom, for calling. Appreciate it. Dorothy in Viola Your turn next. Hi, Dorothy.
Hello. I have a comment on the cheaphotels.com.
Yeah.
I got caught up in that. And I did look through them. And the motel man said to me when I got there that I could have given you a cheaper rate because I could have given you ARP or AAA or any of the discounts they give. But I can't now because you made a deal through them. And you pay a fee for them. So your motel is higher than it would have been had you booked directly with the hotel. Also, the hotel had to pay a fee because they booked for the hotel. So not only did I pay extra, the motel paid extra also.
Yeah.
And so his recommendation is to always, when you find a motel online, fine, but don't go to an 800 number. That is, they hijack you when you use that 800 number and you have to book, or you book through them. So you should look at the website, get the actual hotel telephone number, call that, and make your reservation with the hotel and ask for your discounts that they give.
That's exactly what I do. And I, for a variety of reasons, for almost getting caught up in something like that myself. And frankly, as I said earlier in the show, I can get a better deal calling directly than I would have gotten from the cheap place on, supposedly cheap place online.
Exactly. You don't get any bargains there.
No, you're exactly, at least I haven't.
And,
yeah.
And one other time when we booked, we were traveling with our son and daughter-in-law, and she booked through one of those companies, and when we got there, they gave us the room. It had a funny smell, and it just, you know, we ended up finding out that it was moldy. And they give you, when you book through them, you don't get the best rooms.
Yeah, yeah. So, Michelle and Sandy?
Michelle? I mean, she's right in that it's like a service. It's like an online travel agent. They're trying, but a different version of it, the fulfillment place where here's all these extras. They bought up blocks, and so they're not able to always give you the best deals. Call the hotel direct. You know what you're getting. You get to talk to the people and the services.
Sarah in Zion, Illinois. Hi to you.
Hey, Larry. It's just a little thing, but I thought I'd mention it. When I was up in Kenosha recently, I went to a gas station. I don't know if I should say what gas station it was. It was a Wisconsin chain.
Mm-hmm.
And I pressed the regular gas button, but when I looked at my receipt, it had charged me for premium. So, but I was positive because I just was. So I went and complained, and the woman was she was not happy about me complaining. She said, oh, you know what? This happens to people a lot when they pick up the handle before they press the button because then they knock the button with the handle. Happens all the time. It's your own fault. And I said, well, no, I pressed the button first, and I want my money. I want a refund. And so she finally gave it to me, but she just swore that it was my own fault. And I just feel like if that happens to people a lot, then something's not right there.
Wow.
We do have laws on that in this state, and you said that it happened in Kenosha, not in Illinois. I'm going to give you a number to call. If you could write this down, it's 608-224-4942, and that's our weights and measures line. Give them the name and general address of the gas station you were at, and we'll send somebody out to take a look at what's going on there.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. And please do follow up with that, because frankly, half the time I never pay any attention at all to my, I get the
receipt. No, I never usually do. So it was weird that I looked at the receipt that time. And,
yeah. Okay. Well, good thing you did, Sarah. Thank you. Appreciate the call. And please do follow up at that 608-224-2942.
4942.
Let's give it again.
608-224-4942.
4942. There we go. All right. Kim in Monroe. Hi.
Hi, Larry. This is for my folks. They're in their 80s, and they live in Kenosha County, and they took their jewelry to be appraised at a store south of the border where they used to live in Northbrook. And the
the jewelry store took it, but they did not give my parents an itemized receipt. They just gave them, like, a number like you get at the deli counter. And when they went back to get their jewelry, they put them off for several months. Finally, they were able to get it back. Half of it was missing. So we went through the Illinois Attorney General. The store ignored that. We made requests. The store ignored that. The insurance company was ignored. We took them to small claims court. They didn't show up. My parents won the judgment. They've ignored every request for us to collect, and we don't know what to do now.
Boy, if you've won the judgment.
Help us. Yeah, I didn't know if Wisconsin could help us because we live in Wisconsin, but the store is actually in Illinois.
And was it the Wisconsin or Illinois courts that you went through?
Illinois courts.
Yeah, you'd have to go back to the court system and talk to them about how you do a collection on a judgment when they're failing to pay, what options you have when it's a business.
Yeah, that's really, there's got to be a way.
Well, and that's what we saw with the other one where there was the garnishment. But, this being a business, what the options are that way, how you would go about collections.
The only other thing I can think of is to report it directly to the police department in the town.
We tried that, and they said, well, we haven't had any complaints, so they wouldn't look into it.
Well, you're complaining? Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Oh. Boy, there are times you just want to tear your hair out, aren't there? I am telling you. Good luck with this, Kim.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Oh. And, Samantha wondered in an email, and we did talk about this, but I think it's probably good to go back to it. When you sign up for the no-call list, what is exactly blocked by this? I signed up all my phone numbers, and I still get calls.
The no-call worked for legitimate telemarketers, those that register. You're not going to get calls from those. If you do, you definitely report them. What the calls that aren't blocked are those robocalls, the ones coming from international, overseas, the true scam artists that we are trying to rip you off, the criminals. We still want you to report those because we do work with our federal partners and they work internationally to try and stop and these people from doing this work. And we also put out alerts so other consumers don't get taken by those scams.
And today it seemed like we had a number relating to PayPal and PayPal scams that came up on the show. Is that something that's you're seeing more of in your business?
There is a lot of fraud surrounding PayPal, and similar to Craigslist, if you use PayPal a lot, make sure that you're up to date with their common fraud and scams section of their website, because they do stay on top of that and let people know what to watch for.
Well, as always, it's a great pleasure to have you guys with us, and I'm hoping, I don't know if we've scheduled you another return visit here, but I'm hoping we can have you come back soon.
That sounds great. We'll be here.
All right. Thanks so much. Sandy Chalmers is Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Michelle Reinen is Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Again, that number, if you want to file a complaint, here's the number. It's 1-800-422-7128. And don't forget about that Wisconsin Senior Guide. You could go online and order there or call and put it in order, and they'll be happy to send you a copy of that for either yourself or your parents or your grandparents. That's an important thing to do. And thanks a lot for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.